Good morning. Today we're bringing to a conclusion our series, Minor Prophets, Major Truths. And I trust that you have enjoyed your journey with us as we've taken time to look at each of the 12 minor prophets. What we attempted to do and what our hope through this series was to introduce you to each of these prophets and to pull out a major truth, something that they speak that is relevant to their time and to our time. And so we come to the last one, and the last of the minor prophets in this series is Malachi. What I've noticed through all of the minor prophets is how the message that they spoke thousands of years ago can still resonate with us today. That the truths they spoke then are still truths today. That the issues they had to deal with in the lives of people thousands of years ago are still the issues that we are dealing with today. And so it's timeless. Probably because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His word has not changed. His promises have not changed. Who he is has not changed. And so God keeps calling us, people, mankind, back to himself. Let's talk about Malachi for a moment. Like I said, he is the last of the minor prophets. His message comes about 80 years after Haggai and Zechariah. He comes to speak, and after Malachi speaks, there's 400 years of silence between Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament, where we are told that Jesus is coming and Jesus appears on the scene. So there's 400 years of silence. Malachi ministers probably during the times of Nehemiah and Ezra. Nehemiah and Ezra came back with the captives from Babylon. They helped to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the homes, rebuild the temple, start the worship, the sacrifices in the temple, and the rebuilding of the wall. And so Malachi speaks in that era. He speaks as most of that work has been completed or is coming to a completion, and he is reminding the people about who God is and God's love for them. Malachi speaks to a nation that had grown indifferent towards God. He preached to stir the hearts of the people and to turn them from apathy to a renewed commitment to following the Lord. So, like I said, after Malachi speaks, there's 400 years of silence from God. My assumption, as I've read and studied, is that the people had become comfortable once again. Captivity is now way in their past. They're in their homes. They're going on with life. The temple is up and functioning. Sacrifices are happening. Priests are ministering. Everyday life has gone back to normal. And in their everyday life, they have come to a place where they've become complacent with God, where God is not the forefront of their thoughts anymore. God is just a part of their life. He is not who they are about. They have lost the true joy of worshiping God. They have forgotten what it is to live as the people of God. I want to take a look this morning at eight thoughts. Yes, I said eight. Eight thoughts. I'm going to do them quickly. I want to show you, because I want you to see. The book of Malachi is eight things that God says to the people, and each time the people make an excuse as if God doesn't know what he's talking about. Let me show you what I mean. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, we read these words. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob? God is saying, Israel, I want to remind you that I have chosen you. I chose Jacob. If you go back to their history, Israel comes out of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is saying to the people in Israel after the captivity, I have chosen you. You ask, how do I love you? I chose you, not because of anything you did, but just because I chose you. It was my will. It was my sovereign right, and I chose you. A second question applies here in Malachi 1:6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name, but you ask, that's what you're going to see, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? See, the people of Judah did not show rightful respect to God. God is saying, a master deserves respect, a father deserves respect, but you are my children, and I am God of heaven and earth, and I am not getting the respect that is due me. And they don't see it, and they don't understand it. And God says, this is in part to your ungodly priests. They did not serve the temple well. They did not lead the people properly. And God says, it starts from your leadership down. You have forsaken and forgotten who I am. We come to a third question that we find it in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. It says this, you place defiled food on my altar, but you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. God is saying to the people, not only are the priests not acting properly in the way they lead, but the people aren't bringing the sacrifices the way they need. They were bringing sacrifices that were unacceptable. The sacrificial system for Israel was set out in the time of Moses, where God gave Moses all the decrees and the proper ways of doing the sacrifices. And one of the things that was made very clear to Israel is you bring the best of your offering. You bring the best of your flock, the best of your crop. Don't give God your leftovers. Don't give God the rejects. Give God the best of what you had. But what happened here is the people in Israel have become complacent, and they're bringing blind and animals, they're bringing lame animals, they're not bringing the best. And that translates for us too today. Because the worship that we give today is an expression of our hearts. And God wants us to express what we have fully and totally to Him. Not hold back and give God your leftovers. Give God your best. And so back to the days of Malachi. There's a suggestion there, as God says at the end, you respect your governors more than me. You care more about man than you do about God. I wonder what God would say to us in our world today. Do we care more about mankind? Do we care more about people of presumed power and honor more than we honor God? Maybe that's food for thought. Let's look at another question that God raises the people raise in a statement that God gives. And it's in Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says this, another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altars with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offering or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. God here is turning his attention to the relationships, especially the relationship of the men to their wives. It seems in Israel at this time that the men began to divorce their wives and go after either younger women or foreign women. They just thought that the grass was greener on the other side, and God is dealing with them. He says, that is not the way the marriage covenant is supposed to work. Your marriage is a covenant between two people before God. And God says, I see that. But notice how he started that passage. You come to the altar with tears. You come as if this pretense of worship. You come in this pretense of crying out to God. But God says, I see beyond your facade. I see beyond your mask. And I look to your heart and I see that your heart is deceived. I see that your heart is not fully to me because you're not treating your wives properly. You can expand that. How do we treat other people in our relationships? It matters because God looks beyond the outward appearance and God checks out our hearts and our motives and our thoughts. The fifth question is raised in Malachi 2:17. It says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice?" You see, the people here have an evil skepticism. They're walking in ungodly ways. They're walking in unbelief. They're questioning whether it's even worth following God. You know, how have we wearied him? They wearied him because they stopped trusting him and they stopped believing him. They were upset because God did not do what they wanted God to do when they wanted God to do it. Does that ever sound familiar? We have to be careful to always honor God. The sixth question is found in Malachi 3:7. "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return?" See, Israel here after captivity is fallen into the same pattern that Israel of old, after the times of Moses and Joshua, had fallen into. If you remember, there's a time of the judges after Moses and Joshua where God raised up judges over many years, and the people would sin, Israel would sin, and God would bring another nation to turn their hearts back to God. They'd subdue them, they'd call out to God. Then God would raise another leader to rescue them. And this pattern went on and on and on, and it's going on again. And that's why God says, return to me. Return to me. Would you turn your hearts towards me, your thoughts towards me? Would you follow the things that I have said for you? Would you follow the ways I have led about you and for you ahead? God is calling their hearts back. He's calling his people to return to following the ways of God. Then there's question 7. Malachi 3:8 might be the most well-known question in the book of Malachi. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings." See, Israel had been withholding the tithe from God. When God set up the sacrificial system through Moses, he also talked about bringing the tithe. And the tithe was the way that God made sure that everybody was taken care of and everybody was participating together. And God asks, "You rob me. Why would anybody rob me?" See, God looks at our tithe. A tithe really just means 10%. God looks for our tithe, our 10% to be given to God. That's our tithe plus our offerings. And God is saying, but you're robbing me when you withhold it. But there's even a bigger picture that we don't really have time to develop today, but we rob ourselves when we steal the tithe, when we hold back the tithe. Because when we don't give to God the way we should, we block the ability for God's blessings to pour out in our lives. I didn't say God's riches. Okay, I'm saying God's blessings in our lives. There's a difference. We don't give the tithe so that if I give a dollar, God gives me 10. If I give 100, God gives me 1,000. That's not the teaching of Scripture. Teaching of Scripture is we walk in obedience as we give and we trust God, and God blesses us his ways in the way that he needs to. Notice what it says. God didn't say, give me the tithe and I'll give you riches. No, God said, I will be your God. And that's what we need to remember. This brings us to the last question. Malachi 3:13-14 says, "You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty?" God is saying to the people of Judah, you're saying it's futile to serve me. It seems that they had forgotten what God had done just recently in their past. Yeah, it's been a few decades since they've come back from captivity. It's been a while, but they've already forgotten what God has done for them. And they're saying it's not worth following God. It's not worth obeying God. It doesn't matter. God was letting them know that he saw what was in their heart. They were appearing to go through the motions, but God knew inside of them it was death. There was no spiritual vitality. There was no spiritual life. God knew the truth. Now you can see the picture and the condition of the people of Malachi's day. They had the appearance that everything was good, but deep down inside, their hearts were not following God. God makes a statement and they ask a question, but it's an insincere question. It's not a question where they want to learn more. It's more they're asking questions to kind of defend themselves. But God, how did we do that? Where did we do that? We don't do that. They're defending themselves instead of coming before God and repenting and turning towards him. They have turned cold towards God and the things of God. And God has lost his place in their hearts and in their lives. Malachi's message to us is a reminder that there may be times when, even in our lives as we seek to follow God, there may be times when we fail God. There may be times when we don't follow through on everything God says. There may be times when we forget what God has done for us. And Malachi is a reminder to us. It starts with that very first question, I have loved you. And Malachi is a reminder to us that God has loved us. And there are times when maybe we've hurt his heart, but God still loves us and he longs to bring us back into a relationship with him. God wants us to love him because he loves us. God wants us to serve him willingly and wantingly, not because we fear God, because, you know, we're going to go to hell, but because we want to serve God and love God and live for God, because we are grateful for all that he has done for us in our lives. As we have seen throughout this series, God always sends the prophets to call the hearts of the people back to him. God has never given up on Israel, and God has never given up on you. And so Malachi's message is an important message to Israel, and it's an important message to us. Remember, Israel's about to go into 400 years of silence, where no prophet is going to be raised up to speak to the nation of Israel. At this point, the nation of Israel is going to have to remember all the words of the prophets and Moses, all the things that they've known from their past and heard and been taught over these next 400 years. They're going to have to remember them and trust God to remind them for that. Malachi's message is relevant for us today, because God says he loves us and he speaks to us. I want to leave you with two important truths that God wants us to see in Malachi here. And the first is this: God speaks to us today. God may not be raising up another 12 minor prophets. He doesn't need to do that today, because we live in a time where Jesus has come, he's died, he's resurrected, he's alive, he sent us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us his word. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me show you what I mean. In the days of old, Israel had Moses and the prophets. In the beginning of the New Testament, the followers of Jesus had Jesus himself, and then the apostles to tell us what Jesus taught us. And today, God has given us the Holy Spirit and the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures, whichever name you want to use for it, the Holy Bible. These are God's words to us. In fact, hear what the Holy Spirit says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. It says this: all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God still speaks to us today. God speaks to teach and to warn and to correct and to guide. God engages with you in a personal and loving way. So you have to remember, God's desire is never to destroy you, but always to build you up. God's desire is that you would walk in the ways of life and not in the path of death. God loves you and cares about you. And so he's given us his word, the Bible, the scriptures, so that we could gain life from them and understanding about who God is. God is communicating, but are you listening? See, God will tell you what you need to hear when you need to hear it. God has given us his word, and his word is the way that God speaks directly into our lives. He speaks to our hearts, and the Holy Spirit helps us to hear the love of God through the words and the pages of Scripture. See, God wants the word to become part of your everyday life. He wants you to trust it, to guide you when you are lost, to lead you when you need direction, to correct you when you are wrong, to heal you when you are broken, and to encourage you when you are down. Not only does God speak to us today, but the second truth is this: we need to listen to God. That's a big statement. We need to listen to God. See, it's not a matter of if God is speaking to us. The issue is, are we listening when God is speaking? Are we paying attention to what God says? Are we paying attention to what's written in the Bible, in the scriptures, for us as the guidebook for our lives? See, we have everything to gain by being open to God. We have everything to gain by being open to the teaching of Scripture. We have everything to gain by being receptive to what God is saying. We need to listen to God, and we need to stay teachable to what he says. I have a friend who works in a counseling office, and a while back, before COVID, I was out visiting with them and seeing the place. And I noticed that in the lobby area, in the kind of reception area, kind of near the doors, there was this little contraption on the floor that was plugged in. And I said, "What is that?" And he says, "Well, that's a special noise generator." I said, "Tell me about it." He said, "Well," he said, "it can be really quiet out here. So that emits a very low, soft noise." He said, "So when people are in the rooms and the doors are closed, sometimes sounds can escape from one room to the other. And if anybody's sitting out here waiting or somebody's sitting out here working, that little noise generator covers up any of the bleed from the office. It's a way of making sure that nobody could hear what's going on in each of the private rooms." And I thought about that for a moment. I thought, it's interesting. You don't need loud noise to drown out other noise. You don't need loud noises to drown out the voice of God. You need to be careful not to allow the small noises of life to drown out the voice of God. What small noises have you allowed into your life without you even realizing? What small noises are making noise in your life so you cannot hear or recognize the voice of God in your life anymore? What's blocking you from hearing God's voice? It could be some of the regular things of life. I'm not talking about things that are way out there. I'm just talking about everyday life. What are some of the things that might be blocking us from hearing God speak? It could be fear. Fear is something. Fear can bind you from knowing God's voice. Fear could have you living in a place. Anxiety could get the best of you, that you can't function well. You don't trust yourself, and you're fearful, or you're walking in anxiety. And so fear can block out the voice of God. Here's one that I think we all fight with. It's busyness. Are we so busy that we can't slow down to hear the voice of God? Are we so busy rushing here, getting up and rushing out with our days, especially as things have been reopening over the last few months and people are going, oh, finally, phew. But maybe we've starting to get ourselves too busy again. Don't let busyness rob you from God's voice and God's presence. Worldly thoughts. Are we more concerned with going after the things of this world? Are we more concerned with pleasing the people of this world? Are we more concerned, like Malachi said, about the governors than about God? Could worldly thoughts get in the way? Excuse me. There are many things that can fill the noise of your life and block the voice of God. You need to be able to hear God's voice through His Word. See, listening is a cultivated skill. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know that sometimes Sylvie, that's my wife, Sylvie, I know sometimes she says something to me, she talks to me at home, but in all honesty, I'm not 100% present. Maybe I'm reading something, or maybe I'm watching something and she says something. And to be very honest, a few times after she said something to me, about a minute goes by and I'll go, oh, wait a minute, I think Sylvie said something. And I gotta say, oh, Syl, what did you just say? I wasn't quite paying attention. And by this time, I know that I've annoyed her. And I've got to go back and I've got to make sure that I'm not distracted by the TV or by what I'm reading and listen. And then to my fault, I need to acknowledge that I've listened. But see, listening is a cultivated skill. And we need to learn how to listen to God. God speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. God speaks to us through the promptings of the Holy Spirit. See, we have the Word and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings the Word to life in our hearts, and God has given them to us. God also speaks to us through other godly believers, maybe through Bible studies, maybe through your small groups, maybe through our Sunday teachings. God speaks to us through other believers, and sometimes God even speaks to us through circumstances. Are you listening to God? Are you developing your ability to listen to God? Are you spending time in God's Word? Not just reading two verses a day, but spending time. I mean, if that's all you can do right now, you never read the Word, start with two verses. That's not what I'm saying. But find time where you can sit and read the Word of God without rushing. Asking Holy Spirit to bring life to it and to you. Are you keeping your conversation with God ongoing through the day? Now, you might have a wonderful habit of reading the Word in the morning or at night or both and praying, but what do you do between morning and night? As you go through your day, as you're going to work or to school, or maybe you're retired in your home and you're going out and meeting people, as you're driving in your vehicles, as you're on transit, are you taking time to even just talk to God and be open to what God says to you throughout the day? Are you keeping that line of communication open? Don't limit yourself just to your devotional time, but be open to God all through the day. See, Malachi was God's messenger to speak into the life of Israel, to encourage them to return to God with all of their hearts. God saw through their pretenses and their excuses. God sent a prophet to get their attention. And God wants to speak into your life today. He does so through the Word and with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your helper and your guide. Do you recognize that God speaks to you today? Are you listening to God? Are you allowing God to speak into your life? God loves you and cares for you. Do you need God's love today? Maybe you're listening to this series or just to this teaching, and you're recognizing that the God who spoke in the days of Malachi is the same God who speaks today. And as you're watching this, you're saying, you know, I need to know God's love. I need to know God. I need to let God speak to me. I believe right now God is speaking to you. And we want to help you know God. And we want to help you walk with God. And so if you decide today that you want to be a follower of Jesus, would you pick up your phone and would you kindly text me the word love? Text it to 416-267-1189. Please follow the prompts. It'll give us a way of getting back in touch with you. And we will reach back out to you this week. And we want to help you as you walk with God, as you follow Jesus. Let's pray together.